Here we are.
We've got two big announcements to make.
Huge.
One of which, this is going to be an announcement even to you, Catherine.
Oh, no, what?
We now have merchandise.
We do. I was so excited about it. Yay.
I mean, you didn't know about it. This is brand new. It's up on the website.
It's brand new?
It's on the website. Well, it's not brand new. It's the stuff you've seen, but, you know, we were holding off for some inexplicable reason until we did our anniversary show, which we still haven't done. I guess maybe next year we can do an anniversary show.
Maybe next year. Maybe. Maybe when we hit episode 52.
52.
And we're at 50.
It's coming up. This is episode 50. So that's coming up.
Okay. Maybe in two episodes we'll do the anniversary blowout.
So if you go to our website, subrantpodcast.com, go to the store, we now link to two stickers and t-shirts that you can buy with aliens or teddy bears. Your choice, because that's what we do here. We're aliens and teddy bears.
I love it.
I guess I didn't really think about it, but does that act as our alter egos? Am I the alien and are you the teddy bear or vice versa?
I think vice versa.
I don't think that works out then, because I don't feel like a teddy bear.
I don't feel like a teddy bear. Maybe we're both aliens.
I feel more like an alien. Okay, there you go.
I think we're both aliens.
We're both the alien, mm-hmm. And then the teddy bear is our audience, maybe? Yeah, that makes sense, because they're probably much nicer than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And better looking.
I know, particularly this morning.
So the second piece,
what?
You already know.
Yes.
Yesterday, I started a TikTok account for the show.
Yes, you did. That was so sweet.
And that actually was a lot easier than I expected. I mean, I spent a lot of time doing it, but doing the video editing was a lot smoother than I expected, because I found this online tool called Veed.io. It's Veed.io. You know, one of these stupid startup names, but whatever. It's a remarkably easy tool to use to stitch stuff together. It doesn't even have to, mostly video, but it was really easy to use. I was shocked. Who needs Adobe with this kind of stuff online, free online? Now, they have paid versions, but I did the video that I put together for the TikTok was on their free tier, and there's a lot of stuff in there.
Interesting. We'll have to link that in the notes.
I guess the good news is over, because what we will be talking about today are fake Basquiats.
Potentially fake Basquiats.
Potentially. See, now you're being more speculative about it, but I'm going out on a record and saying fake.
Okay.
Based on what is probably the best New York Times article I've ever read.
It really was.
It's a textbook case of what a news article should look like. Not only is it thoroughly researched, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper, they peel back the layers of the onion for the case, but they also write it in a way that it's like a story. It like pulls you through the story of it. They didn't just slap all the details, all the information up front, but they really laid it out. And almost, I don't want to say that it sounded like a novel or, you know, the way it was written, but it was written well.
It was written well. It was written well. Yeah, I put together a little chain of custody for these potential. I mean, because, you know, there were so many moving parts. And so I'm just going to quickly peruse this article. Okay, the article is from the New York Times. The title of the article is FBI Investigates Basquiat Painting Shown at Orlando Museum of Art. So real quick, before we get into the meat and potatoes, and I really want to discuss like the artistry of these pieces more than like this whole thing. But anyway, Basquiat allegedly painted these pieces. There are 25 of them on cardboard. Allegedly painted them in 1982 while living and working in the basement studio of Larry Gagosian. He was an art dealer. Gagosian was in the process of preparing a show of Basquiat's work, but states he never saw these pieces or had any knowledge of them. Later, Basquiat sold the cardboard collection, as I'm calling it, to screenwriter Thad Mumford, who was known for all kinds of stuff, including MASH. Mumford then placed them in a storage unit for about 30 years, but never told anyone that he had them, and wasn't known to be an art collector interested necessarily in visual arts. Fast forward, Mumford didn't pay the storage fees, and 2012, these two folks, William Force, who is an art and antiquities dealer, and Lee Mangan, a salesman, purchased the storage unit for about $15,000. And there's a third owner, it's a lawyer, Pierce O'Donnell. Mangan and Force allegedly had lunch with Mumford after this purchase of the storage shed paintings, and then Mumford was said to have told them that he did purchase these from Basquiat and gave them a poem that he wrote dated 1982 that was on a typed piece of paper. Some additional characters you'll hear. There's a guy, Lyndon Leader. He was a brand expert who had redesigned the FedEx shipping label. That'll be interesting later.
I think that's really important. He's not just a brand expert. He's literally the guy who redesigned FedEx's logo and their typeface.
There's a dude, Diego Cortez, who was really instrumental. He was a curator and former member of the Basquiat Authentication Committee. He was instrumental in blowing up Basquiat's career. I mean, he really pushed him to do his work publicly, more publicly even than the same old stuff that he was doing as graffiti. And Johanna Moore Sagis, she wrote a book about Basquiat called Exploring Ambivalence in American Art.
She's a professor from Maryland?
Yeah, she was the author. She authenticated some of the paintings, and they said that she was misrepresented. And then finally we get to Aaron DeGroff, the director of the Orlando Museum, who set up the exhibit. That's just kind of a background to this whole story. Just what I want to say, a lot of the players are deceased. Basquiat died in 1988. The Basquiat Estate Authentication Committee was disbanded in 2012. Thad Mumford died in 2018, and Cortez died in 2021. So a lot of the players are not really available for comment.
Well, the linchpins of this authentication movement,
right?
They're dead.
Right.
I don't know if that's suspicious or not, but it's interesting that everybody that they rely on to really put this in context is dead. And just a minor clarification, because one of us is a computer nerd. It was a dot matrix printer that the poem was printed out on.
That's right. I couldn't remember that, and I didn't have it in my notes.
Which, as you go through the article, and we're already starting to see a lot of cracks develop in the article by the time they get to this point, seems like they're trying really too hard to put it in its time place. Like, we're trying to date it based on the technology being used by the printer. Now, as you mentioned earlier, I'm just going to expand on this a little bit. Mumford, the writer, was theoretically the person who bought the works originally and was supposed to be a screenwriter, was notorious for not using technology. He was a technophobe.
Right. Yeah, he was never seen to be typing. He always had a notepad.
As we go through the story, it really starts to sound like someone's doing research for a comedy. They're making a comedy movie about a bunch of washed-up has-been crooks that come back for one last heist. And I say that because every other person, all the people, all quote the owners of these Basquiats, they're all criminals. They're all convicted criminals. The article deconstructs one by one. One guy did a security fraud. Oh, yeah. So O'Donnell, one of the L.A. lawyer. Oh, he's not just an L.A. lawyer. He's an L.A. divorce lawyer. Bells go off when you say lawyer. Bells go off when you say L.A. Bells go off when you say divorced lawyer. So that's like three automatically three strikes. But then the fourth strike, if you need one, is that he was convicted not once, but twice of violating campaign finance laws.
He was?
Yeah. So he's the attorney and the L.A. attorney, the L.A. divorce attorney. When you put O'Donnell and Manchin and Force all together, this sounds like Team Trump. You got a bunch of guys who are barely competent in being able to doing whatever they're doing. A salesman, a lawyer, and what was the other? Oh, an antiques dealer. Quote,
an antiques
that's
dealer.
That's almost as
antiquity.
Good as being a podcaster.
Antiquities
so
dealer.
Before there was podcasting, if you didn't really have a real career, you would call yourself an antiques dealer.
Oh, I could have done that.
Yeah, couldn't
I'm
we
just
all?
Like, James, I have to be honest. When I was reading this article.
Why do you
I
have to be honest? Nobody in the article is being honest.
No, but I'm honest with the podcast. In lieu of their past criminal history, that's like redundant as hell. I just kind of suspended belief because I too was an antiquities aficionado. I wouldn't say I was a dealer. I wasn't a dealer. I just collected stuff for an antique shop I was helping out with. But it gets really, you know, like you're kind of chasing the dragon looking for those little gems that you might find in boxes or at an auction. And so I can see, and you know, periodically, I mean, I think we found some like cool boots from the 60s one time or, you know, I mean, it was never a Basquiat or anything that could replicate or be such, you know, maybe some like orange owl painting from the 70s or something, you know, you get the image, right? So I kind of suspended. It's like, okay, so that was their history. Maybe they, you know, they paid their dues and now they're just serendipitously falling into this. I just wanted to put the criminal stuff behind, but it unwound. It was more and more difficult. I just wanted to kind of grasp the story. And that was just my bad.
That seems fair. You're trying to give these guys a fair shake, except that the crimes involved are, you know, scams. One's security. Yeah. Another one is campaign. finance related. Oh, the other guy was convicted also twice of narcotics trafficking, felony. So these are not lightweight crimes like they forgot to file their taxes.
Right.
This is straight up bad guys that are trying to scam people. Oh, and the guy, I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Manjin, was caught defrauding people again in sometime in like the 2020s or the 2010s.
Hmm.
It's not that far in their past. And their latest crime apparently is trying to sell fake Basquiats.
There are 25 alleged Basquiats that are painted, not on canvas, it's painted on cardboard. And I think that's very, and they said he kind of scrounged the cardboard and then knocked these out while he was in the process of preparing for this exhibit that Gagosian was fronting. And he was working in the basement, working and living in the basement of that house. And so when you look at these pieces, and I did find...
You had a great video.
Yeah, we have a link.
That walk
yeah,
through.
A link. And, you know, they're pretty rugged. I mean, they're set nicely. They're framed. It was like really set up for an exhibit. But the pieces themselves, they're rough.
Rough and ready. I didn't think that was out of character for Basquiat, though. He was frequently paint on found materials.
Right. Right.
And I thought the framing was bad. The mounting was pretty bad for a...
the mounting was bad, right.
So these are at the Orlando Museum of Art, run by this guy called de Groft, who I don't know if he's necessarily in on it, but he was certainly suckered into it, and he certainly doesn't want anyone looking into it. He actually threatened the employees not to talk to anyone about the show or the providence of the work, otherwise they would be fired.
Wow.
And if we look just a second, again, the nerd comes out of me. You know, you told me that... Oh, they're trying to back away from it because their website, you can't even see the works. The website's down. It's like, well, so I looked at that, and they have four current shows. The Orlando Museum of Art has four current shows highlighted on their website. Who knows what's actually at in the museum? So I looked at each one individually, and of the four that they highlight on their website, two of them only show one work. So their gallery of works consists of one work or less. One of them didn't have any. It was just a picture of the artist. The other two works that are highlighted on their website, their gallery page for both of those shows are both broken, one of them being the Basquiat.
Oh.
So
I thought maybe they were just trying to not have images available online so people can study them and look at them like I wanted to.
I think that was a completely justified response, except that, you know, sometimes you shouldn't attribute to malice what can be attributed to incompetence. And in this case, this was just straight up incompetence. Their website is an embarrassment. It is broken and it is an embarrassment. And that video you showed me, so the video is actually someone walking around with their phone taking a video in the space, in the Orlando Museum.
Right.
It's a great video, which we'll link to on our website, because it shows most of the works. You get at least a passing image of each work.
Mm-hmm.
But as they were going through the gallery, what I thought was really interesting was that there was an adjoining gallery that was cordoned off by basically a couple of doors that were hinged together. So it's like a screen that's hinged together. Oh, you saw that. Did that did that remind you of anything?
No.
Okay, that's something I've done. Both in my gallery... Both galleries I had, I used that. I went and bought doors and I hinged them together.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, okay.
Because it's a really super simple, easy, cheap way to make extra wall space. The thing that caught my eye, though, was that my door panels were a lot better than these.
That's funny.
You could tell that the hinges were barely holding on, and there was there was one place that they had already torn off, and because there was no paint, and it was where the hinge had been, and they had moved the hinge down because they'd probably broken them. But this is the Museum of Orlando, or the what is it, Orlando Museum of Art?
Orlando Art Museum.
God,
right.
What a fly by night! Yeah. It looks like a total fly by night thing. I'm wondering.
Yeah,
I
have no idea.
It makes the whole thing look like it's just a stooge. It looks fake. It looks like a fake museum, and it's just in there. It's just there. To try to authenticate these works.
I don't think we could be that hard on them.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying that they are not like a world-class museum.
I'm not a fan of Orlando. I got trapped in an elevator for 45 minutes in a resort in Orlando, and I've not liked it since then.
I don't think you can hold the whole city hostage.
No, the whole city is accountable for that experience. I was traumatized and hysterical and very hot. And sweaty, by the way. And even the phone in the freaking elevator was broken. That's just neither here nor
That's
there.
That's always the
but
case,
But thank
though.
God for cell phones.
That is always
Oh, my
the
God.
The phones
talk
never
about
work
like
in elevators.
talk about like fear and panic. But anyway, let's talk about the exhibit, because the exhibit is this, you know, it was called...
The show is called Heroes and Monsters, Jean-Michel mm-hmm. Basquiat. You know, you should have done that because you say it better than I do.
That's okay.
Because you're in love with him.
I think he's gorgeous. It was interesting when I watched a longer video with DeGroff, and he was talking about the heroes were the paintings and the monster was life. They had this weird take on this whole thing. It was just all art speaky, and they were really trying to make something resonate with this. But
on the bright side, it's starting to sound to me like if I moved to Florida, I could probably get a pretty good job running a museum, because these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. I could do a better job than these guys.
Don't go to.
So I don't know if DeGroff, the CEO of the museum, is in on it, but he's either in on it or he's a complete stooge.
I don't think he's in on it. I think that it was really exciting. They were doing this during Black History Month. They wanted to represent, you know, diversity in the community. He considers Basquiat one of the hottest painters ever. And if someone
for this show,
you,
he does.
Right. Obviously for this show. And it was kind of exciting. And if these guys, you know, who had this collection, the owners of this collection, were savvy in, you know, selling, I mean, that one guy was a salesman, like selling their product, so to speak, which were these 25 paintings. I can see where someone, you know, who was actually told they were authenticated. He was told they were authenticated.
It's his job
by Cortez.
But it's his job to make sure that the authentication is genuine.
And sounds like for intents and purposes, what they had that he determined that they were. You know, I can't fault him for no, I really can't.
You're being
James.
Very generous.
I really can't. No, I really can't. I don't think this guy is like you know, is engaging in malfeasance here. I think he bought a line of goods, believed stuff he was told, and looked at the authentication process that had occurred and believed it.
Okay, so I agree with you that we can't necessarily paint him mm-hmm. as an active bad guy here. He's just incompetent. At best, he's incompetent. Because he's got a website for his city museum mm-hmm. that is broken. He literally has broken parts of his exhibit. The mm-hmm. framing isn't particularly good. I have a list of things I have critiques. Mm-hmm. This guy should be fired, basically. But just based on anything else. I don't know how much he's making, but come on. You got to be able to find someone more competent than this to run a museum.
He was just so excited. I actually kind of felt sorry for him. And, I mean, my heart really went out to him, because this is a big negative blob, you know, on your career and on your, not your character.
No, I think, it does. I mean,
like on your career, they had a lot of information. Yeah, I just don't want to call him a crook.
Oh, I'm just saying he's incompetent. Like I said, I can't say that he's a crook. It's possible, okay. But it's also possible
he
he's just incompetent. One thing I think you can indict him on is his response to this, because he's not mm-hmm. been good about his response. Like I said earlier, employees have said off the record that they're not allowed to talk about it, otherwise they're going to get fired. DeGroff said he would fire mm-hmm. them if they talk about him. Also, he's not taking it head on. He's not looking at the evidence, which is overwhelming, and coming out with a statement. They should at the very least say, you know, these works may or may not be authentic. But at this mm-hmm. point, with this much information, this much data, I think it's pretty clear that they're not authentic, or at least most of them, or at least some of them. He's in line with Brumback, the board chair of the museum, did not respond to requests for comment. She told the Orlando Sentinel that while we know questions have been raised about this exhibit, museum goers had nonetheless been reacting enthusiastically to it. Attendance mm-hmm. is up, diversity is up, shop sales are up, she said. Mm-hmm. People are enjoying themselves, which is very important to us. It supports our mission. What the hell is your mission exactly? Is it just to have people have, you know, be happy and like your museum, or is it to actually show genuine, authentic work?
That's a good question. I saw that quote and I just, wow.
All right, so I guess we're done burning down the museum.
Not
back to the artwork
down.
In question.
Yes, back to the artwork in question. The 25 pieces done on this cardboard, just at first blush, when I looked at some of them, it appears that it's in the style of Basquiat, some of them.
Adjacent, yeah.
Not all of them. But what instantly stood out to me was the lack of depth in the pieces. It's like they're overworked and tried really hard to throw in every trope, I guess, for lack of a better term, that Basquiat would use, like the little crown, some of the harsh brush strokes on a face, a lot of written word in the back that looks almost like chalk marks, which was he was known for. A lot of written words. A lot of written words.
That's one of the things that really tips me off. This doesn't, the words don't look right. I don't know why. But among many other things, but I think that was, I think you're pointing out that they don't feel like they're layered.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting point too, because I actually kind of like some of the paintings in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were two of the larger ones. I started looking at them. Like, yeah, I kind of like this painting.
Yeah, I agree. They stand on their own. I know which ones you're talking about. I'm sorry to cut you off, but no, I agree with you.
But those two pieces are very specifically not layered. They're
correct.
Very two-dimensional. They're very structured. And I guess the reason I'm responding to it is because that's the way I paint. I paint very two-dimensionally, very structured. I block things out. I don't layer things, generally speaking. That's not true. There are some paintings I do that are layered, but a lot of it is two-dimensional and structural.
Right. And, you know, to that point, I found a quote from Diego Cortez. And remember, he was on the authentication committee for the estate. And a quote that he said in one, you know, interview, he just said, "I think John's real achievement is not the iconic figures in the foreground of his works, but the layered backgrounds where he furthers the idea of the visual collage." So I went back and looked at some of Basquiat's more known works. And it's very clear to me when you look at them that there's a distinct foreground and a distinct background. And they don't necessarily blend. Sometimes there are blending lines, but to me, it is very layered. And that collage-like visual is mostly in the background. Whereas you'd start, you know, fast forward to some of these pieces, even the ones that you liked, the whole thing looks like a collage. Just like if I took, you know, my collage work and just slapped it on, and it's just like one or two layers. It's just, you know, a couple things layered on top. But there's no distinct foreground or background. It was very busy. It was visually overstimulating to me.
I think that's a really good, you have a really good eye for it. And you, you know, I think it's really good that you caught that. And I think if you're up for it, there may be an opening for the CEO position of an Orlando museum if you're willing to move to Orlando. Because
it seems
to me like you have a better eye than the guy who's running it now.
No. But, you know, and one thing that I was thinking is like when I looked at the videos and I don't know, just my thoughts on this whole situation, you know, and it's just, it goes back to what we were saying several podcasts ago and probably over and over in these podcasts. It's like when these artists, any artist sells their work, particularly when they're in the emerging category and you're looking to pay your rent and food and you don't want to sleep on someone's couch and you're handing out postcards or doing whatever the hell you're doing, you know, and then all of a sudden your work is like $100 million. That's what people are thinking it's worth. You know, that money, all those inflated costs don't go back to the estate. They don't go back to the artist. No one ever gets a cut of that.
It sounds like you're trying to make an argument for NFTs.
No, and it was our NFT argument. But, you know, it's a shame that Basquiat isn't alive to substantiate or negate these claims. If he did do these works, my take on it is he was either extremely high, extremely ill, or just extremely thumbing his nose at the art world and knocking shit out just to make a buck.
Well, it also brings up the idea of how ghoulish this is, because these guys, like I said, I think it's a scam. I think these guys knowingly commissioned an artist to make fake work. So it's really kind of ghoulish to find dead artists, not only a dead artist, but then dead people that to authenticate your claim.
Mm-hmm.
They're like grave robbers. They're going up and digging up corpses and making them say, and positioning them in the ways that make their argument for them. Mm-hmm. It's pretty gross.
It is gross. And I was just sad, you know, that someone would, you know, who is someone who really, I do like Basquiat's work. I think that's been made very clear over and over ad nauseum on this podcast. But I find it really difficult to understand how anyone who really appreciated his work would want to even attribute some of these pieces to him. They were bereft of meaning to me. They didn't seem to mean anything. There was no emotion. The brush strokes
were wrong. I think you're
being
a little bit harsh about that.
Yeah, maybe I am being hard.
I look at these paintings, and this isn't just, you know, the lawyer couldn't do this. The security scam guy couldn't do this. The salesman, they couldn't have done this themselves. They had to have paid someone, because you have to have some level of competency with a brush and paint to be able to make the marks that are being made on these, on this cardboard.
And some of them were good, but some of them were really not good, James.
Yeah, they've fluctuated, but I think that's part of the problem. I mean, for Basquiat, he plays that line, and
he does.
But that's, you know, they're naive work. In one way, you could say they look kind of naive. He's not. Basquiat is not about refined details.
No, he's not. And let's talk a little bit about the actual cardboard.
Yeah, we can argue all day about whether these look like Basquiat's or not.
Right.
I think one of the easier things to use to indicate that this is wrong or fake is the fact that one of the boxes, the cardboard pieces of cardboard that's used, has a FedEx logo on it or some trademarks on it that has clearly been identified as having been made in 1994, which is 12 years after these works were supposed to have been made.
And 6 years after Basquiat passed.
So I don't know how you get around that.
And the guy, Lyndon Leader, actually was the one who changed the logo, and he...
Mm-hmm. And he's the one who identified this. It's like, no, I'm a bicycle nerd. I'm a tech nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Leader is a graphic design nerd. So when I know a nerd...
When you see one?
We recognize each other across, even if it's across an ocean of he's graphic design and I'm computer.
Right.
I immediately recognize each other, and I know those guys know their typefaces. They not only can recognize every typeface in the world, they can tell you when it was imprinted, when it was first created, and who did it, and what forges, people who make typefaces, released it and when. Like, they will go off. Don't mention Arial to them, because they will go off on you.
Why? I love Arial.
Arial's a fine typeface, but basically Arial was Microsoft not wanting to pay the licensing fees for Helvetica. So they basically stole Helvetica. They redrew it. It's basically on the bones of Helvetica, but not Helvetica. So everything is exactly the same. They just redrew it a little bit. And drives, to me, it reads, I think it's easier to read than Helvetica a little bit. I think Helvetica is great for signage, but for actually like prose and stuff, I'd rather read Arial.
I love Arial.
That's a whole
other
discussion, though. I don't think we should be getting into Arial.
Let's not.
Too late. Already done.
What's our summation of this?
Sing the praises of the article. I love the way they end. So I think we should probably end on the same note.
Okay.
They have a quote from an expert from the FBI. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of all this fluff that goes back and forth in the article about, oh, it could be, it couldn't be. And then the FBI comes down kind of like a ton of bricks. And this woman who's an expert from the FBI, as she wrote on Twitter, addressing the OMA, that's Orlando Museum of Art, Basquiat exhibit, the lack of any real scientific analysis on methods and materials speaks volumes. In another tweet, she added, handwriting analysis and poems don't authenticate artworks. Not just closing the door gently, but slamming the door and saying, yeah, try again, guys. On your next heist movie that you want to make, put it together a little better. Do Ocean's 11, not Ocean's, what would you call it?
Ocean's Fail.
Ocean's Fail. That's a good one. I like that one.
Ocean's Fail.
I guess it makes us sad that there are fake Basquiat's out there. But it makes us happy to know that there are some New York Times article writers who can still write.
Yeah, it just makes me sad. No, it just makes me sad that Basquiat isn't still here where he could say, yeah, I did it. And it was like, you know, I was thumbing my nose at this and it is me. Or what the hell? It's not me. I'll wait to see what the FBI has to say. I think there are a couple pieces that could possibly be Basquiat. Some are very, or maybe all of them can be. I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Well, one of the authenticators are saying there are at least 9 of these that she absolutely cannot authenticate. That leaves the other ones open to whether they could be authenticated or not. But there are 9 that certainly, that doesn't mean they're not, but they can't be authenticated. And if they can't be authenticated, you probably shouldn't be showing them.
And it brings me back, just in closing, to our discussion of Banksy and that other exhibit with Banksy where they were putting up things. It's just like taking these artists, and Banksy's alive. But in Banksy's favor, I'm really glad that Banksy is documenting and archiving this. And Basquiat, you know, things weren't maybe as well thought out, and the lifestyle perhaps was more chaotic and hectic and disjointed.
Well, yeah, he was still a kid when he was painting.
Right, he was a kid, and it was New York, and you know there were a lot of things involved with his lifestyle, and people didn't maybe, you know, and it depends on how serious you take yourself. But how are we going to end this?